The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Lerfuas Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefanalo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem tanihenna began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with arichut yamim, health, osher ve'osher ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen.
Daf Chavtet. Today's daf is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chavchet Amud Bet at the Mishnah, which is two lines from the bottom. The Mishnah begins, Lo yomar adam latabach. A person should not say to the butcher, Shekol li bedinar basar. You shouldn't give a price to the meat. For example, you know, give me a dinar's worth of meat or two dinarim's worth of meat. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to mention money when you're making the purchase, because obviously that is mekah or memka, that is similar to transaction, which is forbidden on Yom Tov. Aval shochetu mechalek b'nehem. However, the tabach is able to slaughter, and he gives out the meat arbitrarily to the customers without saying a specific price. Let's read Rashi. Shekol li bedinar basar she'asur lehazkir shem damim. You cannot mention the money denomination. Aval shochet hu belo pisuk damim ve'en cholkin b'nehem. And they will divide it amongst themselves. Okay, now of course the reason why it's asur to mention the money, the Mefashim will bring two reasons. One is because it's a gezerah. You can't transact because it's a gezerah, it might come to write. Okay, gezerah to kitiva. And some say because the isur of memesor hefsecha vedaber davar. There are certain verbal restrictions that we have on Shabbat that we're not allowed to speak about because of the kiddushah of the day. So they want to say that applies to Yom Tov as well. Vedaber davar. Mentioning money is takes away from the sanctity of the day itself. Comes to Gemara and says, Hechi abid. Which Gemara says, which is a person, let's say now, wants to take a small piece of the animal. So how is he supposed to buy it? Or how is he supposed to get it? Which means, if a guy wants to get half an animal or the whole animal, so it's very easy. I'm going to go to the butcher. I need a full animal. I need a half an animal. I need a quarter of an animal. But if a person needs a slice of meat, in the olden days it was customary to say the money. Give me a dollar's worth. Give me $2 worth. So the Gemara wants to know, if a guy's taking a small quantity, which is customarily, you would say the amount of money in order that the butcher would know exactly how much you want. So in that case over there, you're telling the guy can't mention money, so what do you want the guy to do? So look at the Rashi, Hechi Abid, Kishe'en rotzeh likach kol ha-behema. He doesn't want to take the whole animal. Velo mechsa, not half. Velo shalish, velo rabia. Ela bedinar o bishnayim. Mayomalo, he just wants a dinar's worth, or two dinar's worth. What is he going to tell the guy? So the Gemara says, ki ha de besura. Well, if you were living in Sura, the custom was to tell the butcher, amre tarta upalgu tarta. So the way they would say a piece of meat, they would refer to it as tarta. So a person would say, give me a tarta's worth or a half a tarta. That was the way you say a small piece. Benarash amri, in the city of Narash, the way they would say it was halka. Either give me a chelek, a portion, or they would say upalgu halka, or give me half a portion. Bepumbedita amri, uzia upalga uzia. Give me an uzia's worth or half a uzia's worth. Benar pekod, ubematam machseya amri rivah upalga rivah. Either give me a rivah, which we would say a quarter's worth, or palga rivah, an eighth's worth. Again, all these are different terminologies based on the town that the Gemara quotes. Let's read Rashi Besura Amri Darkan Nomar Le Tabach Tel Ni Tarta O Pelag Tarta O Ben Rash Amri Halka O Pelag Kulka O Pedita Amri Uzia Kol Tabachin Ayu Menatechin Beimoteim Beshave. Which means in the olden days the cut of the animal was all equal. There was a standard way to cut the animal. A certain amount of pieces. So each piece was referred to as a tarta in surah. That's the way they were referred to, so they didn't have to talk about the money value of it to get around that issue on Yom Tov. We go to the next.
We just learned that they used to weigh. So they used the form of...
No, well, we had a machloket, if you remember in the Mishnah, if you're allowed to weigh or not, the Biudasa could only weigh with the kofit, according to the other Shita, you're not allowed to use a scale whatsoever.
He could ask, like, I want half, whatever, he would give...
Also, they weren't talking about poundage over here. They're talking about the size of the meat. They weren't going on pounds over there. They were saying, give me the whole animal, half the animal. It's easy to calculate, but a piece of it, usually they would jump to the money value of it. So he's saying, okay, just use those terminologies that way, each one according to its town. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah, Omer Adam Nahavero. Person can tell his friend on Yom Tov, Maleli Klize, fill me up this keli, which means he brings a vessel to him. He wants to buy, let's say, a beverage, or he wants to buy, wheat or whatever it is. So he goes to the store, or his friend, he tells him, listen, here's this vessel, fill it up for me. Ava lo bemida. But not with a measuring. Now, we're going to see exactly what this means here. What do you mean, no bemida, not with measuring? The Gemara will explain exactly what this word means. If it is literally a measuring cup, you cannot fill it at all. Again, we will wait for the Gemara to explain exactly what the mahlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is. Ma'aseh be'abba Shaul ben Botnit. Okay, one of the rabbis. Shayam mimalim midotav me'ed of Yom Tov. So he would already fill up the measurings. He would sell wine or oil. So he would already make the measures, fill the kelim up from before Yom Tov. Ve'notnam la'lakuhot be'Yom Tov. And he would give it to them on Yom Tov, because he didn't want to measure on Yom Tov. He held that measuring is asur on Yom Tov, because it's ovdin dehol, that's a weekday activity. So when the customer would come to him on Yom Tov, of course the customer wasn't paying money, we'd pay him after Yom Tov. But he says, I need a certain measure of wine. So he would have already the measures, measure it out already, so he can just give him the exact shi'ur. Abba Shaul Omer, Av b'mo'ed, even on Chol HaMo'ed, Asa Ken. Not only on Yom Tov, Eid of Yom Tov did he do this, but even on Chol HaMo'ed. Now seemingly on Chol HaMo'ed there's no problem. You're allowed to measure on Chol HaMo'ed. But the custom of this rabbi was that on the night before, meaning Leil Chol HaMo'ed, the night before, he would make all the measurings. So when the customer comes, it's ready. So the Gemara says, why would he do that? So according to our text in the Mishnah, our text has Mipene Birure Hamidot. The Gaon Mevilna says there was some text in the Mishnah that did not have this word Birure Hamidot. But I'll explain it to you what it means according to this text. When the customer would come with his keli, fill up my keli, give me a keli's worth of wine. Now when you're taking from the barrel and you're pouring it into the vessel, so there's what we'll call a foam. The wine has a foam on it, so at first it looks like the customer is getting full measure. But when he waits around a little, the foam settles down, and he's not really getting the proper shi'ud. Mm-hmm. And therefore the rabbi was concerned that if the customer is going to be in a rush, let's say, he's just going to take what he has, then he's going to get home, he's not going to have the shi'ud, he's stealing. The rabbi didn't want to get involved with giving the customer less than he deserved. So then what he would do was, the night before, he would already measure out the shi'urim after it would settle, so therefore everybody would get the proper amount. Again, what I was going to say, that why didn't the rabbi just do it on Halloween itself? Tell the customer, be patient, let me wait till the foam settles. So he says, because it was b'tul mit ha-midrash. Because on Chol HaMo'ed, what do the rabbis do? Although they learn. So you don't have time now to sit with every customer on Chol HaMo'ed now and wait for the foam to settle. It's going to be too Torah. It's going to take away from the time that he's supposed to spend in the yeshiva. And not only one customer coming, there's a lot of customers. So therefore he prepared the shiurim from the night before, so the customer right away get the right shiur, and therefore there would be no delay. The Birurei Hamidot is the concept of the year to give him the full measure. Okay, so that's the concept here. Bachamim. Omrim, af bechol oseken mipnei mitzui hamidot. Forget about Chol HaMo'ed and forget about Yom Tov. He would do this even during the week, on a regular weekday, during the year. Why? Because mitzui hamidot. Mitzui is like the literally limtzotz is to. I would just say to squeeze maybe, which means when they were selling to drain. That would be a better word. To drain. Why? he's selling oil, let's say, right? So if you're selling oil, so you have a cup, and you're going to pour from your cup into the customer's cup, right? So you have a shi'ud. But we know the nature of oil is it sticks to the side of the of the walls of the cup. So therefore, if you have, let's say, the shi'ud in the cup, when you pour it, you know, you have to wait until all the oil drains from the side. Now, if you're rushing, you know, he's not going to get the full measure. Sometimes the customer's rushing, or he's not bitu b'tamid rashi, because it's even in the weekday, but the customer's not going to have the patience to wait, and he's going to end up getting less than he paid for. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the custom of the rabbi was that on Erev, not Erev, on the weekday at night, before when the store was closed, he would, you know, make the proper measurements in order that already when the customer came, he had the measure made already. He wouldn't have to worry about mitsui hamidot, about the oil draining from the sides of the of the keli. Okay, now the Gemara is going to explain the machloket in the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah again, the first opinion says, Omer adam l'chaviro maleli kli zeh. Right, you're allowed to go on Yom Tov to the your friend and say, here's the keli, fill it up. But you cannot do it b'midah. So the Gemara says, Mai aval lo b'midah. What does it mean lo b'midah? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, aval lo b'chli miyuchad l'midah. That's what it means. You cannot use a measuring cup. Which means a keli that's designated for measuring, you can't use. Which when you go to the guy and say, fill up my cup, all right, you fill up this regular cup, no problem. But to take a measuring cup now and use it to fill it up, that's going to be asur, because that was the normal way they used to sell. And it looks like mekah or memka, it looks like you're transacting in business when using a measuring cup, therefore it's going to be asur. Aval, kliya omed limida yimale'enu. A vessel that is destined to be used as a measuring cup, it's omed limida, is okay, which means the backup cup, the alternate. Which means you didn't use it yet for measuring yet. But in the event that the first cup breaks, then you go to the alternate cup. So since the alternate cup wasn't really designated yet, because it wasn't used yet for a measuring cup, so the hadush of the Mishnah is, well, you cannot use a kli midah, but you can use a kli ha'omed lemidah, because since it wasn't used yet, it's not domeh lemekach umemkar. Right? As she says, ha'omed lemidah, shekishi yishaber zeh, ba zeh tachtav. Right, when the first one breaks, you'll use the second one. The point is, you never used it yet. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm reading the Mishnah, if it's a kli midah, don't use it. What is he coming to add? So it says, Rabbi Yehuda, afilu kli ha'omed lemidah lo yimale'enu. He's coming to be Mahmir and Tana Kama. He's coming to say, even the alternate, you cannot use. So that's the first version of the Machlok and Tana Kama and the Biyuda. Tana Kama holds that you can't use a measuring cup, but you can use the alternate cup. The Biyuda comes along and says, you can't even use the alternate cup. To that, Gemara says, Alma, Gabe Simchat Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda Lechumra, Verabbana Nekuda. Well, obviously this is an issue of Simchat Yom Tov over here, because the guy's buying product for Yom Tov. And still it seems that the Biyuda is Mahmir. Even for Simchat Yom Tov, he's not going to let you use to measure even an alternate cup. Which means he's Mahmir for Simchat Yom Tov. He doesn't give any dispensation. And the rabbis, it seems, they're the lenient ones. Because for Simchat Yom Tov, they're letting you use the alternate cup. So the Gemara says, says, what do you mean? We learned the exact opposite. Which is, we're going to show you now from the Mishnah, that the Biyuda, in light of Simchat Yom Tov, is lenient on laws. And the rabbis, in light of Simchat Yom Tov, are still Mahmir. So it's the exact opposite. What Mishnah is that referring to? Well, the previous Mishnah that we learned on the previous tapim, that nan Rabbi Yehuda omer shokel adam basar keneged akli uchneged akofis. We learned that Rabbi Yehuda allows you to use a scale on Yom Tov so long as you don't measure with regular weights, conventional weights. So long as you use, let's say, a keli or a cleaver, so since that's not the normal way of measuring, so he's allowed it, which means he lets you use a scale. Just what? Don't use the regular weights. Right. So for some at Yom Tov, he's being lenient. Whereas the rabbis say you can't use a scale at all, which means even for Simchat Yom Tov, the rabbis are being mahmir. Alma, Rabbi Yehuda lekula. You see, Rabbi Yehuda is being lenient. V'Rabbanan lechumra. Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Kasha, Rabbanan, Rabbanan. So we have a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, where in the case of the scale he's leaned, in the case of the measuring cup he's mahmir. You have a kasha against the banan, against the banan. In the case of the scale, the rabbis are mahmir. In the case of the measuring cup, the rabbis are leaning to use a alternate. So the question is, what's the difference? So Gemara answers, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Lakashan. There's no stira between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Atam b'she'eno omed lemida. Which means over there, how do you let you use a scale? By using a weight that's either a keli or a cleaver or a kofitz. That's not considered of din da'ala. That's not the derech. It's not normal for a person to use these things as weight. That's why he was lenient. However, hacha be'omed lemida. Here, even though it's an alternate cup, measuring cup, and even though you didn't use it yet, but what? It's a normal cup. Mm-hmm. Which means it's destined to be used eventually as a measuring cup, and therefore it's dometu of din da'ala. So that's the Gemara's chinuch. By the scale, the weights that I'm using are never used in transaction. No one ever would weigh something, can they get a cleaver, or can they get a kofitz, therefore it's mutar for Sma'at Yom Tov. But Sheikin over here, granted it's an alternate measuring cup, but it's a normal measuring cup. It's a measuring cup that is designated for midah. Therefore the midah is going to be mahmir, because it looks like it's domeh to mekah or memkah. Now let's answer the rabbis. The rabbanana mele kasha, there's no stira against the hakamim. Hatam. Ka'avid k'da'avdin b'chol. Over there by the scale case, bottom line, using a scale. Which means bottom line, a scale is used. Now, sometimes if you don't have a weight, you'll use something else to measure meat or whatever it is. So therefore, scales are totally asur because it's domeh to'avdin b'chol. Right there, she says, b'moznayim, pa'amim she'ena litra lefanav. Sometimes you don't have the conventional weight in front of you. V'chivan she'yodeh mishkal kelav, shokel bo. But you know, okay, my cleaver weighs 2 pounds, I'll use the cleaver as the weight. Therefore, it's avdin b'chol. However, ha'cha lo ka'avid k'da'avdin b'chol. But here, since you never used this measuring cup yet, so it doesn't have a shim of a measuring cup yet, so therefore how can we go to say it's utah? So that's the answer, how we answer the difference between the biuda by the scale to the biuda by the measuring cup and the rabbanan as well. Now we give a different answer to how to explain our Mishnah. Rabat defines the machloket in the Mishnah between the biuda and hachamim a little differently, which is till now we explained the machloket is on the alternate. Tanakama says you can use the alternate. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't use the alternate. Everybody agrees you cannot use the keli that's designated for medida, because that's considered domet to mekah or memkah. Now Rava is going to give a different answer. The first answer incidentally was given by Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shimuel. Now Rava gives a different interpretation to our Mishnah. Rava Mar, my aval lo b'mida. What did the Mishnah mean when Tanakama said aval lo b'mida? Shelo yizkor lo shem mida. You cannot verbally mention a measure. Which means you can't tell him, give me, the mashal, 5 ounces, 10 ounces. The measurement, verbally, you cannot say. But you want to give him a measuring cup to fill it up with? No problem. She said, we're not going against the keli. Lo b'midah means do not verbally say the shi'ur. And Rabbi Yehuda comes as mahmir and says, you know what? I'm not letting you not only verbally mention a shi'ur, but I'm not letting you use a vessel that is designated for measuring. Alma, gabes Simchat Yom Tov Rabbi Yehuda lechumra, v'rabbanan lekula. Back to the same question. We're saying we see Rabbi Yehuda's machmir over here. Which means the whole machloket over here is what? Can you use a measuring cup that is designated and was used for measuring? Tanakama will say, no problem, just don't mention how much weight you're getting. According to the Biyuda, no. Not only can't you verbally mention anything, but you cannot also use the measuring cup. So we see the Biyuda's mahmir, by Simchat Yom Tov and the Rabbanan are mekel. Same exact question. We learned the opposite. Where did Naam? We learned in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Shokel Adam Basar Keneged Akli V'Keneged Akofis. Where Rabbi Yehuda allowed us to use a scale on Yom Tov, so long as you don't use conventional weights. V'Hachamim Omrim En Mashkirim V'Kaf Moznayim Kol Enkar. What the Hachamim said, you can't use a scale whatsoever. Alma Rabbi Yehuda Lekula. Rabbi Yehuda was lenient when comes to Simchat Yom Tov that you can use a scale. The Rabbanan lechumra kashad Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda kashad Rabbanan. We have a stira, which even in Nava's way of learning is still have the same stira, that the Yehuda by the case of the measuring cup is mahmir, but in the case of the scale is mekel. So the Gemara answers the Rabbi Yehuda lakasha, no stira between the Yehuda atam b'she'eno miyuchad lemida. So again, in the case of the scale, you're right using a scale, but what are you using as a weight? An item is not miyuhad l'midah. I'm using a cleaver. I'm using a vessel. The weight that I'm using, since it's not miyuhad l'midah, and we're talking about simchat yom tov over here, so I'll be making hacha miyuhad l'midah. But over here, bottom line, it's a measuring cup. It's a measuring cup that was used as a measuring cup. It's designated for a measuring cup. That case over there, we're going to be machmikos is domeh. However, the rabbis to themselves is not a stira. Hatam, in the case over there of the scale, ka'avid kedavdinan bechol. Again, like we learned above, bottom line, you will use a scale during the week, and also if you have no weights, like we mentioned above, you will use a cleaver or some type of item that you know its measure. Therefore, even though there's some hachum tov involved, it's a surah of a hacha. But over here, look, havid kedavdin bechol, which means even though you're going to your friend with a measuring cup and using the measuring cup to fill it up, so long as you're not mentioning how much, you're not saying give me 2 ounces, 5 ounces, whatever it may be, it's okay. You know why? The avde inche, because it is customary that people do the mekarbe hamra b'mana dechila v'shatu. A person has a guest over in his house. He will fill a measuring cup of wine and give it to his guest to drink. Which means you do serve wine to guests in a measuring cup, and therefore it's not such a avdin dechol to use a measuring cup to give somebody a measure of wine. And therefore, the Rabbanan will say this is not considered avdin dechol. Using a scale, that's the way you make business. You have a scale. What are you telling me? A measuring cup? What do you mean? People use a measuring cup even during forget about the holidays. Even during the week, you go to the guy's house, want some wine. He'll take the measuring cup, go to the vat. You know, take the measuring cup and go, we'll give it to him. So therefore, that doesn't look like business necessarily. Okay. That could be like a guy's giving his friend a matana. Mm-hmm. He's giving his friend a gift. Let's read Rashi. Avidi inshid de mekarbe hamla lehavrehem. And they would give wine to their friends. Bemana dechila shel mida. In a mana of kila. A vessel of measuring. Okay, and that's the end of that sugya. Now the Gemara goes further. Okay, second wide line. Ma'aseh ba'Abba Shaul bin Butnit. Right, so we said Abba Shaul, first of all, he wouldn't use measuring cups. Right, so he would make all his measurings on Erev Yom Tov. So when the customer would come on Yom Tov, of course, without any money, it was made already. Right, he gave him the shi'ur, he doesn't have to make measuring. So then the Mishnah said, Tana, av b'mo'ed oseh ken, mepeneh b'tul bet ha-midrash. Right, so that's the text of the Braita that we have over here, that because of Bitul Bet HaMidrash, what's the Bitul Bet HaMidrash? Like we explained, because since there was foam on the wine, so the customer has to come now, and he has to pour the wine into the cup for him, and he has to wait till the foam goes down, and you add a little more, wait till the foam goes down, so he gets the full shi'ur. There's a long time over here it takes. So what was the purpose of Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed? To go to the Midrash and learn. So because of Bitul Bet HaMidrash, not because of Isur of measuring, you can measure on Chol HaMoed. But for the time factor of it, he would do it on the night before the customers would come. Let's read Rashi. Tana, Hakam Gadol. All right, Abba Botnit we're talking about over here was Abba Shaul ben Botnit was a big Tamil Hakam. Uba'in Rabbi Nesh'ol Emenu. People have she'elot to ask him, right? Uba Mo'ed, Rabbim Oskim Batorah. People are learning Torah. She'en Terudim Mimelacha. Right, and they're not working on Chol HaMoed. So it was a day really designated for the Bet Midrash. Vaya Mimale'an Belayla. So when would he fill up his measures of wine? At night. She'en Zman Bet Midrash. There was no Bet Midrash at night. Kedesh She'e Panui Bayom. So already he'll have time in the day to go and be in the Bet Midrash to answer all the questions. Now, Ulman De Garas Matin De Berurei Amidot. Now, according to this Gemara, you have to say the Mishnah did not have the text Birurei Hamidot. Because we learned that according to the way we understood is that the reason, according to this Gemara, forget about foam. You don't even have to introduce the foam factor over here. The reason why he filled it up at night, because he didn't want to be burdened to even have to fill it up at all on Chol HaMoed, because he was in the Midrash all day long. So the customer would go in, already has the shi'ud made already for him. It was just a time factor, right? But Amishnah, if you have the text of Birur Amidot, so that she says, you have to say that Ulman de Garas Nitin. מפני בירורי המידות מפרש אך מפני ביטול בית המדרש של באי מועד לא יהיה פנו לשחוט ולברר מידותיו שלא ירתיחו לפי כך מבלם בלילה. The הרתחה, that's the foam, So the customer wouldn't have time to wait there until the phone goes down. So therefore, it was bitul and davar. So again, if you don't have the word bitul amidot in the Mishnah, it's a simple time factor. I'm not going to waste my olam oed filling up wine for people. I'll do it the night before when nobody's learning, so I can spend time in the Beit Midrash, and they can spend time in the Beit Midrash as well. However, if you have the words in the Mishnah bitul amidot, that's in order to, for the wine to settle. You need it to take time, and there's a bitul Beit Midrash factor in that extra few moments to wait till it settles. Comes the Gemara and continues. News and says, "Tanu Rabbanan, second wide line. Who kanas? This is Abba Shaul ben Botnit. He collected shelosh meot garbeyayin, 300 barrels of wine bebirure hamidot, just from the excess that he saved, which means the customer would come in and he would fill it up on a weekday. Forget about Chol HaMoed or Yom Tov. During the year, he'd fill up the wine for him." And there would be foam. The customer would say, I don't have time to wait, it's fine. So as a result of all the extra wine, he's selling, let's say, a liter, for example, right? But he's not giving a liter's worth, because the foam says that, so that's not a liter. But the customer was mohel. The customer told him, just keep the change, so to speak. So from all that extra, residual, it ended up coming to the shiur of what? 300 barrels of wine. The haverav kansu shelosh what garbesh shemen mimitsu yamidot. And his friends got the same residual from the oil. Again, when they're emptying out the oil, right? So they don't want to wait now till the last oil drips from the sides of the keli. The customer would say, okay, it's fine. Yeah, but I'm selling you a liter. You didn't get a liter yet. Don't worry about it. So from all the residual, they ended up saving for themselves 300 barrels of oil. Now again, halachically, they can keep it. The customer was mohel, right? The customer told them, it's yours. But what? They didn't want to keep the money. It's not theirs. They felt that doesn't belong to them. So they went to the treasurers of the Beit HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, Amru Lahim. So the treasurers would tell the rabbis, Iyatev zikukim nekach. Listen, you don't have to give it to us. This legally is your money. The customer was mohel. Amru Lahim, af anu in rutsunenu bekach. Listen, we don't want to take something that doesn't belong to us. We know, luckily, maybe it's ours. But bottom line, we don't feel comfortable taking something that really doesn't belong to us per se. And then we want to be mahmir. You take it. Amru lahem u'ir ve'ehmartim al atzmechem. Since you're being mahmir to give it, and the reason why you're giving it is because all these customers that gave it to you, asu mehem tzorchei rabim. So the rabbis told them, you know what? Use it for public works. The Tanya Gazal, if a person stole money, the Enu Yodei Lemi Gazal, he doesn't know who he stole from. Ya'aseh Be'em Tzorchei Rabim. Use the money, which you now want to pay back the money that I stole. Who am I going to pay it back to? I don't know who I stole. You know what? So go do something for the public. Now what's the logic? For example, let's say, let's read the Gemara. My Ninu, what's an example of public works? Amar Afhazda said, Boro Chichinu Me'arot. Go make cisterns, for example, wells. Now, you're going to make utilities. Now, how's that going to pay back the guy? Well, bottom line, one day, Borei Olam will orchestrate it, that the person you stole from, or his descendants, will go to that well and benefit from it. So therefore, when you steal from somebody, you don't know who you stole from, so do something for the Sibur, put a bench in a park. Now what? Somebody's going to go sit on that bench. And maybe one day, that person that you stole from will have hana'a from that bench or his descendants, and therefore the money will be paid back. Okay, so that's what they told them to do. Even though they didn't have to do it in this case. It was a humrah in this case. Look at that sheet in the bottom, first column. Hu kanas mishenatan yayin behabit kach vekach lugin. Right, when there was a certain amount of log in the barrel, b'mida, u'machar memena, so he would sell, let's say, a log at a time, ad she'machar hashbono, until he sold his fill, nimsa kol ha'notar behabit al yedei berurin. All the leftover in the barrel is from the berurin, that's from the foam, right? Shirtiya hayayin, when the wine would ferment. Kishemotzi'o ma'ale ufya, belaz ve'en amida mele'a. Right, they weren't giving full measures. Vehen nikrim berurin. Why? Lefi shemivarerin otan minayayin kisheshoteh. Which is when you drink, you sift it. You sift it off the top. You skim the foam off. That's called berurei amidot. Inameh al de kelishe vezige shem al kelishe vezige, which means it's berure is like it's kalish, it's weak. It's not actual wine, it's air. There's air pockets in there, so they call it berure. That's lashon kelishe vezige. It's weak and light. The shemen yesh po mitsui. Shemen doesn't have birur, but it has mitsui, which is the residual that sticks to the keli. Mepenesh shemudbak b'shulei amida, right? Sticks to the cup. Ubedefanoteh ubeyayin shkei birurin velo b'shemen. Okay, wine, there's no birur. It's mitsui because the wine really just slides out of the keli. So you have the other problem. Okay, the haverav kansuk the penesh birurin lefnei gzbarin shelegdesh. They went to the rabbis of Egdesh or the treasurers la'asot bem surchei Egdesh. Im yirtzu vehem lo gdishua. But the gzbarin did not want to make it Egdesh. Kasburin en yecholin lagdish she'enu shelahem. Either they held that you can't make it Egdesh because they felt it didn't belong. It didn't belong to them. I guess who did it belong to? I guess it belonged to the
customers.
Iname yecholin havale. Iname yecholin havale gezel be'ola. Which means they didn't want to use it for korban because if it indeed was gezel, right. We learned that you're not allowed to use hasba shalom gezel for a korban. So therefore, they abstained. So what they say? Amad lehem achamim yatem zukikin lekach. Say, hold it. You don't have to do this. Why? Hu'il u'mittachila lo netkavantem l'gzol she'alekuchot mohalim al yedei tirdan u'mrutzatam. They were in a rush. You didn't have any intention to see. They were rushing. She'enam yecholim l'shot. They didn't want to wait until the birur and the mitzui. V'yad'eh. They knew exactly what was happening. V'kam machleh. Af anu en l'tzunen l'kach. But they say, you know what? We don't want to get involved. Why? Lazid lihanot m'shil achayim. We don't want to benefit from other people. Amru lahem achayim imken. En achayim lasot ekdesh. So they say, oh, in that case over there, don't make ekdesh. Because if you feel that you're taking something from the sibur, ela lasot b'msorche rabim shaleh m'shil rabim haya. V'yehenu ba'alimem. Like we said, eventually the ba'alim will get the benefit from him. V'enu yodeh l'migazah. Shigazah l'arashim arbeik. I stole from a lot of people. Shichinu me'arot. Cisterns, wells, etc., caves, shemit kansin behem mayim, right? Water wells over there, vishotin mehem. Okay, fine. Comes the Gemara and continues. Four lines from the bottom. Adbere Rav Chisda le Ravna Ukba. One time Rav Chisda was escorting, he was walking with Ravna Ukba. Adbere. He was walking with him. The darash, and he said a derasha. What was the derasha? Lo yimdod adam se'orim. A person should not measure barley. The yiten lefne behimto behimtov. He shouldn't take a measuring cup. You know, go fill it up the measuring cup and go give it to his animal. Aval koder hu kav o kabayim v'noten lefne behimto ve'enu choshesh. He could scoop it up. Even with the measuring cup. You could take the measuring, it's a pile of barley, right? So don't take with your hand and start putting it in the cup and measuring exactly the shiur to give it in front of you. But you could take the cup itself to the heap and just go, you know, scoop it up like this and give it a few, whatever the shiur comes, because that already is not looking like a uvdin dehol. That's not the normal way. Normally you would measure it. So when you're doing it in a shinui way, it's permissible. Now she says, lo yimdod adam kav se'olim afilu liten lebeimto. Why? Shinir ekim odin demkor. Hey, people don't know you're giving it to the animal. It looks like you're measuring it to go sell. So therefore, it's asur. Aval koderu bekav atzmo. With the measuring its vessel itself, nokev. He can, you know, dig into the, make a hole into the kli, into the pile. Exactly. You don't stick your hand in the pile and say what the keli and do. That's not the normal way. So therefore, it'd be mutar on Yom Tov. Comes Gemara and says, three lines from the bottom. Van nachtom. Moded tevalin, the mevashel, the chef, would be allowed to measure spices on Yom Tov. Venotoen leto kederato. I always said measuring is asur. Yeah, but a chef is allowed to do it for simchat Yom Tov. Because what's going to happen? Kedesh shelo yagdiyach tavshilo. He's not selling them. He just doesn't want that his tavshil should burn or become too spicy. If you're not going to let him use a measuring cup, he's going to end up putting too much spice and there goes the food. So therefore, for a chef, they allow him to do it. Furthermore, Amar Avid Miyabar Abba Marav Modedet Isha Kemach Biyom Tov. the lady is allowed to measure her flour that she's going to use to make the challah on Yom Tov ve'notenet the tochei satat she put it in the dough. Why? Kedesh shetitol challah ba'ayin yafa. So she'll take the challah in a generous fashion. The shi'ud of challah is 1/24th of the amount of dough that you have. That's the shi'ud that you give to Kohen, 1/24th. Now, we're worried that the lady, if she's not going to know exactly how much dough she has, she's going to give a lowball figure. She's going to say, well, how much dough do I have over here?
Stingy.
She's going to be stingy. You know? She's going to say, what do I have over here? Sachakol. So she's going to give 1/24th. She might have 3-4 pounds. She's going to say, what is it, 1 pound? I'll give 1/24th of that. However, if you let her use a measuring cup, she's going to know exactly right. how much flour is in there. Then already she's going to give exactly what she's supposed to give. She'll give the 1/24th ba'ayin yafa. So therefore, they're not looking at that. She ba'ayin yafa, the left side of the she columns there. Shi'ur hala echad nechavdan kohen. But the shi'ur of the hala is 1/24th. When she doesn't know how much dough she has, he commits it. Yeah, she becomes stingy. There's not so much of it. Because she yodat midat isata. When she knows how much dough there is, yodat matafrish. She knows how much she has to give. Ve'aneha yafe ba. Comes the next halakha. It's on the. Baraman Ushmael Amar Asur. Shmuel comes along and says, even so, Asur, you can't use a measuring cup. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Shmuel said Asur. Now Shmuel is Amorah, right? There are Tana de Be Shmuel. In the Bet Midrash of Shmuel, there was a Tanaic statement that was quoted that said, Mutar. So now we have a Stira. Shmuel himself said Asur. But there's a Tanaic statement out of the Bet Midrash of Shmuel that says what? Mutar. Right? When Shmuel was learning the Tosefot, he quoted in front of the rabbis that it was mutar. So the question is, who do you go like? So the Gemara says, "Amar beyahashta damar Shmuel asur." Vetana de beShmuel mutar. Now we have a contradiction. Shmuel says when he learned the halakha, he said asur, but when he brought the halakhot from the Tosefot in front of the rabbis, he came along and said mutar. So how do we reconcile this? So the Gemara says, Shmuel alakha lemaaseh atal shmi'inan. What does this mean? Shmuel himself was giving alakha lemaaseh, which means really he held it's asur. Which means when you give the halakha, somebody asks, can I measure flour on Yom Tov? You tell him Shmuel held it's asur. But what do you do with the Tosefot that he quotes? Look at the bottom Rashi on the Amud Rishon. Hashta damar Shmuel asur, vehu shana b'mishnato mutar. Shmuel b'shmate damar asur halakha lemaaseh atal shmi'inan. She'abal l'shol halakha, somebody comes to ask the she'ela, la'asot maaseh morin lo asur. V'hazinan inish da'avid. But if you see a lady that she's being lenient, that she's sifting, she's measuring the flour on Yom Tov, lo ma'hinan b'yadid halakha d'mutar ve'em morin ken. She's a bottom line, Shmuel had a tosefta, and he quoted it and said it's mutar. So when he said when in the shiur he said asur, it means asur. We don't publicize it. If somebody comes and asks, you tell them asur. But if somebody's doing it, really halachically it should be permissible. So that's the way you compromise or square off the two statements of Shmuel. It's a halacha ve'en murinkin almost. Halacha asur. But what if somebody's doing it? You don't have to stop them. No, maybe they didn't give it to the Kohanim. They gave it to they burnt it, whatever they did with it. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech HaOlam, Shekulim Baruch. Okay. Tosafot goes into this on the Amud Bet, the top Tosafot. And this is Tosafot's subject.
Burn it today, it's just a minute.
Correct, that's Tosfot's question. Today the Kaorat shouldn't apply because you're not burning 1/24th. Kaorat, what's the difference how much you make? Always taking the same minimum amount of shiur over here. So he still says, still you should take bereva. You should not take, even you shouldn't take the minimum. So when you know what you have, you take more. When you don't know what you have, you're not going to take more. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. En shonin kemah biyom tov. Flour that was already sifted from yesterday, one is not allowed to be shoneh, re-sift the flour on Yom Tov. Why? Yeah, it's finished. It looks like you're being borer. You should have done it from yesterday. If you're interested in re-sifting, re-sift from yesterday. So therefore, the halakha says, according to this bright over here, en shonin kemah, you cannot re-sift kemah on Yom Tov. Again, the logic is, you'll say, okay, nefesh, what do you mean? I want to get cleaner flour. Hey, you could have done it yesterday. Any melachah v'ochel later, you could have done yesterday. Should have been done yesterday. Veshum to be papias. But those two rabbis said shonin. No, if you want to re-sift, they say it is indeed permissible. Why? Since there's no tirha. What are you doing? You're sticking it in the sifter. You just got to drop it into the vessel. And secondly, it's not nid'ik kiburir, because really it's clean flour already. You sifted it already. It's fine flour. So therefore, it's not nid'ik kiburir. It's not really a tira. Therefore, he's going to say it is permutal. Look at the Rashi, second line. Actually, let's read the top one. Shonin shonin lo metmol shonin pam. It's evident that it's the second time. It doesn't look like you're sifting it to the border. You look at the flour, you see it's clean already, right? But both rabbis agree. Let's say a sror, a rock, or kisam, let's say a piece of wood fell into the flour on Yom Tov itself. Shishonin. Everybody agrees you can do that. Why? Because the whole logic of the first rabbi was you could have done it from yesterday. Well, I could have done this from yesterday. It fell on Yom Tov. What do you want me to do? So therefore, it's mutar. Okay, nefesh. Therefore, they allow you to sift it. Even the first rabbis on Yom Tov itself. Tani tekamet Rabina. We have a Tanaic statement that was said in front of Rabina. En shonin kema be Yom Tov. You don't have to re-sift the flour on Yom Tov. Rashi says, even if the sror or the kisam fell in on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to re-sift in the vessel. So what do you do? With your hand. So they're using the keli, no, but using your hand, yes. Now, you should know that using your hand was the more normal way of doing it in that case. So the Gemara is telling you, you can't use the sifter. Now normally if a piece of wood or something like that fell in, you wouldn't really use the sifter for such a thing. So the Gemara asked the question, Amar le, kon sheken da'asur, davide kiborer, which is, if you're telling me you can't use the vessel, but you can use your hand, kon sheken da'asborer, which means that's the normal, the way to do it over there. So the Gemara said, look at that, kon sheken da'asur. Why? The Mexican kiborer, uborer av melakai, karkada, vashone eno merakid. When you're re-sifting, it doesn't look like you're borer. Shadin the esha kol yotzev en kansubin, which is when you use the merakid, all you're trying to get rid of is chaff. The chaff you got rid of before Yom Tov. So using the sifter does not really look like borer. And you wouldn't use the sifter to get rid of rocks and stones. So you're telling me, if a rock and stone fell on Yom Tov, you can't use the sifter. But you can use your hands. Wait, kochikende, it should be asur. That's the normal derech. If you tell me I can't use the sifter, it doesn't look like borer. So kochikende, I should not be able to use my hands, which is looks like borer. Sadarash Rabba Bar Avuna Zute, one of the rabbis, Rabba Bar Avuna Zute, he made a derasha afetchad Nehardea. He stood at the gates of Nehardea and he broadcasted the following halakha. Shonin kema beyom tov. Everybody, you should know, flour that was sifted from before Yom Tov, it is permissible to re-sift it on Yom Tov. Amar lehu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman heard the rabbi broadcasting the halacha. He told him, Puku, go out ve'amru le'abba. Go tell my friend, he referred to him as Abba, meaning this rabbi, Shekila tevutach. Take your goodness, which means, take the halacha that you're saying, v'shadeh, go throw it into the thorns, which means we don't need you to announce this halakha over here. The goodness that you're doing, the halakha that you're saying over there, it's not necessary, which means we don't owe you any gratitude over here for this. That's what it means, tibutach, which means the gratitude that we owe you, or the indebtedness that you're giving us this halakha, we're going to take it and throw it into the thorns. Why? Puk hazeh kama mahulta hadran b'nehardea. Go look at how many sifters are out there in the city of Nehardea. The ladies know this already. They're all re-sifting on Yom Tov over here. So I was talking about it. What are you teaching us over here? You got up in front of the gate and said, Rabotai, you're allowed to re-sift. Take the indebtedness that we have to you, take it and throw it into the thorn bush. Which means, we didn't need you to announce this halakha. Just go look what the people are doing. Anybody not know this halakha? Go in every house, there's a lady re-sifting flour on Yom Tov. Therefore, you know, it wasn't necessary for you to announce it. Now the Gemara gives us some stories. The bitu de Rav Yosef, the wife of Rav Yosef, Nihala kimha. She would sift the flour. Agaba de mehulta. She would use the back of the sifter. She would do it mishinui. Uh-huh. Instead of sifting it in the normal way, she would turn the sifter upside down, and that's how she would do it. Amar le. So the rabbi told his wife, Haze ana lifta me'elieta ba'ina. He said, listen, I want to have good bread on Yom Tov over here. What are you doing? What are you using the back of the sifter for? Use the regular way. I want to have good bread on Yom Tov. He was trying to tell her, it's mutar to re-sift the flour. You don't have to use the back of the item. It's mutar. She says, I'atzlicha l'shanot. You don't have to change. Deshonin kemach b'yom tov. Because Allah God says you can re-sift the flour on Yom Tov. Another story. Debitu de Rav Asher. The wife of Rav Asher. Nihala kemha. She used to sift the flour. Agabad de fatura. Instead of having the flour fall into the receptacle on the bottom of the sieve, she would go to a table, I guess by the table there was a receptacle, and she would let the flour fall into the receptacle area of the table. Again, she did it, bishinui. Amar Rav Asher. So Rav Asher said, Hadidan, my wife, Barte de Rame Barhama. She's the daughter of Rami Barhama. The Rami Barhama Marad of Dahaba. He was known to be a Mahmir. He was Yiresh Shamayim. He was careful, you know, on many things. The Ilav de Hazyam ben Asha. And if it wasn't for the fact she must have seen this practice in her father's house, Lo Ava Avda, she wouldn't have done it. Which means they don't leave her alone. It must be she saw this the way in her father's house they would re-sift flour on Yom Tov, Bishinui, and her father knew what he was doing. He was Mared Avda. So therefore, leave her alone. Let's read that she. Hadidan, Zu Ishti. My wife, Barte de Rami Barhamai, Marad of the Middakdik with Ma'asav. He was, he's a daikan. Okay, we go to the last Mishnah of the Perek. Mishnah says, Holech Adam Etzl Hanvani Haragid Etzlo. Person could go to a storekeeper that he's accustomed to. Ve'omer lo, and he tells him, Ten li betzim ve'egozim b'minyan. He could tell him, give me a certain amount of eggs. Give me a dozen eggs, or a certain amount of egozim, a certain amount of nuts. He can tell him the number. Because that doesn't look like you're actually buying necessarily. Even a person in his house, when he tells his, why, bring me 6 eggs, bring me 10 eggs, that's the normal way of saying it. And therefore, it doesn't look like mekach or memka. Now, obviously, it's saying that gil etzlo because he needs credit. You're not going to go to somebody on Yom Tov who you don't know is not going to offer you credit. So you go to the merchant that is ragil, it's law, and therefore he'll give you the credit. So now the Gemara explains. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Olech Adam Etzel Ru'eh Haragil, it's law. You can go to the shepherd that he's accustomed to. Now the shepherds not only would shepherd, but sometimes they would sell animals. So you go to a shepherd that you know, Ve'omed lo ten li gidi ehad. Give me one goat, or tle ehad, or give me one sheep. It's a tabach haragil etzlo. Right? You can go to the butcher that you're accustomed to. Ve'omer lo ten li kaf achat. Give me one, shoulder. Or yerech ahad. Give me the thigh. It's a patam haragil etzlo. That would be the one that stuffs. Patam is a stuffer. Because the chickens, usually stuff the chickens. So you can go to the one that's selling the chickens. Ve'omer lo ten li tor ahad. Give me a pigeon, a dove, or gozal ehat. Give me a pigeon, okay? It's a nachtom haragil etzlo. You can go to the baker that you're accustomed to. Ve'omer lo ten li kikar ehat. Give me one loaf, or gluska ehat. Or one roll, or one muffin. Ve'etzel henvani haragil etzlo. Again, the storekeeper that you're accustomed to. Ve'omer lo ten li esrim betzim. Right, give the number. Give me 20 eggs, or hamishim egozim, or 50 nuts, asara afarsekim, 10 peaches, v'hamisha rimonim, 5 pomegranates, v'etrog ehad, and 1 etrog. Ubilvad shelo yaskir lo skum, skumida. So as long as you don't mention skumida. Now what is skumida? So that she says, "Schumida kav o kabayim." Meaning, you cannot mention measurements. Can't give me a pound, give me 2 pounds. You can say, give me 50 of those, 20. That's the normal way in the house you talk also. That doesn't look like mekka or minka. But schumida, you can't say. The Gemara says, the Bishraman al-Hazar omer, ubilvad chelo yaskid lo schum mekka. Which means, certainly you're not allowed to mention to him the money. Right? Give me $20 worth, and how much are you like that? Now that's the way... But as she learns the sugya, Tosafot has a problem over here. Tosafot doesn't like Rashi's explanation, right? Because the Gemara said eventually yaskilo schum mida. According to Rashi, it just should have said eventually yaskilo mida. What would schum mida? Schum sounds like the subtotal of mida. Rashi's point is just don't say kav kabayim. That's mida, correct? What is schum mida? The subtotal. So therefore, he has a different gersa here from the Rabbeinu Hananel, and his gersa was eventually yaskid schum minyan. What is schum minyan? So he says like this. Tanakama is coming to say like this. You're not allowed to go to the hanvari that you're accustomed to, and you tell the guy, let's say, give me 10 more nuts. Well, you gave me 30 already, and therefore, the balance you owe me 40, really. Yeah. So you gave me 30, and you owe me 10 more. That already, you're going into the mathematics of how much it is over there. That's already hashbon. So schum minyan, you can't do it. You want to tell them, give me 40 nuts, no problem. Right. But you can't start going in, you owe me 10 more, because we made a deal that you gave me 30 yesterday, and you owe me 40 altogether. Right. So therefore, you cannot go in and start making hashbon by balance. Exactly. Don't go with the balance. You want to go with a number 40, no problem. But schum minyan, that's going to be asur. And the Bishop of Azak comes along and says that you're not allowed, or the asur lamal hanvani, you cannot tell the hanvani schum mekah. What's schum mekach? Which means you cannot tell him, give me, $2 worth. Because already you gave me, $5 worth already. And schum mekach, so therefore just give me the balance of what you owe me in money. Money's worth it, but that's going to be asur. Hadran alach en sadin. Baruch Allah.